3, 2, 1. Hello, we're back. Back the podcast, the portal podcast.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Katya.
Hi, Christy.
What up?
Do you want to tell us about your morning a little bit?
I feel like this is such a... Sure. Let's see. This morning, I was a couple minutes late for our call because I was trying to trap a skunk that has been trying to get into my house, and I caught a juvenile raccoon, which was adorable. So I had to go let him out, but also feed him first because you'd know I was a raccoon lady. But I had raccoon food prepped in my fridge for, you know, secret reasons that I can only tell you if you said. And I went to feed my horses on my double speed electric scooter. I came back, met all my cats, had to clean a dead mouse out of my office that they brought in through the cat door, and now I'm ready.
Bill, this is such a vibe. Such a vibe.
So if you ever feel like you're the only one living, the only pattern of the life you were living, and your multi-dimensionality, that there's no place for it, there is. Absolutely.
And we,
yeah.
And this is exactly what we mean when we say the life of mythic proportions.
Yeah.
When you try to explain it to, like, quote-unquote, normal people at a birthday party, like, what, how's your day? What do you do? And you're like, so that happened. And it's and people look at you funny.
Well, and also, it was recently Canada Day. I'm in Alberta, Canada, and my whole family was here around, and my literal siblings were like, what do you actually do for work?
Yes. And
isn't that amazing to make no sense to anyone?
Exactly.
Great.
Same here. People often ask me, like, what do you do? And every time I respond with something else, depending on the situation and persons and everything. And every time it's something else. And very often my husband asks me, like, so like, repeat again, like, what do you do? So I can tell other people when they ask. Mm-hmm. And, like, tell them I do nervous system regulation.
See, that I have an answer to, like, an airplane answer.
Yeah. So what do you say?
This is my new stump speech. I help thought leaders with their personal brands. Before, I used to say, like, I do websites. Because people know it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is so funny. Because also, I know your magic more from the inside. And this is very funny.
And that's like I just picked the most translatable part.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I probably don't want to talk to the person on the plane for 20 minutes to tell them.
At least. And then they get confused even more.
And they look off.
Can we just, no, let it go.
We just let it go. We just go, release our raccoon, and let it go.
Exactly. Clean up the mice. Feed your raccoon, get on your double speed electric scooter, get whenever you want to go, do the thing.
Dear listener, I had my literal overalls on and my rubber boots and went and fed cows and came back to this call.
Yeah. Mythic proportions.
If you're listening and you're curious, just send me a DM on Instagram and I'm going to send you live footage from my house, okay?
Do that.
We realize here, we were talking about before we press record, that we are speaking to an audience that feels just unavoidably multidimensional, complex. Yeah. And usually feels like, how do I explain the whole cosmos that's happening inside of me while I'm doing my work?
How do I put the multitude?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. The multitude of my being into the Instagram bio.
Mm.
And then what tends to happen, I know my people, they tend to kind of end up in this place of calling themselves, I am a body worker, I do breath work, I do whatever, I don't know, stuff. I'm a coach, business coach, or whatever. It's like, no, you're not. You're not the thing. You're so much more than the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what tends to happen, there's a lot of squeezing that comes with it. And I've been there too. Like, I've tried so hard to squeeze myself, and sometimes on purpose, and sometimes without even realizing that I was doing that. Mm-hmm. Squeezing myself into something that's more palatable, into a category.
Mm-hmm.
Because the categories exist, and people mostly know, like, if I put myself into the category semantics, people will have some associations and some links already. They kind of know what to expect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is what I did, or whatever category you're using, breathwork, coaching, whatever, therapy. I have people who put them like, I'm a therapist. Like, no, you're not. No, you are like so many more things than that. And so, like, example of what I did, again, partly on purpose and partly without even realizing this, I squeezed myself into the category of semantics, just like you did, like, with web. I do websites. It's like ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And then people have this expectation of what semantics is, and they come to me and they have an experience, and it's a completely otherworldly experience, and they're like, oh, what is this?
Yeah.
And so what was happening, this dissonance between me trying to squeeze myself into the category versus the whole world of experiences that was happening within that.
Yeah.
Huge dissonance.
Yeah.
Plus the dissonance also with my own experience of my own work.
Yes.
Trying to squeeze myself into this tiny, tiny category.
Yeah.
And there's so much dissonance. And then the people who are my perfect soulmate people to work with, they feel this. I had this realization also today. I was like, actually, like, I work with people. My school is full of these magical people who are so freakishly attuned. There is no way around it. Like, I cannot bullshit anybody. Even if I tried, they will notice. They will know.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is such a good, like a check-in to keep everything in. Like, it's a really good way to kind of keep myself in check as well.
Yeah.
How am I showing up? And so,
Yeah. Okay. So a couple points I want to riff on from here, because I work specifically, I have called myself a Katya translator before on this podcast, but a lot of my work, most of my work really is in translation. And some of that is like cosmos. Like, there really are so many strata that I am pulling from when I'm looking at someone and their work. And the first element that I wanted to talk about in this, like, messaging, categorizing, naming piece is that when you have people that are freakishly attuned, that are so sensitive, that really can pull from otherworldly realms, it's usually like there's flexibility to that nervous system and that the ability to hold the structure, like the template that comes later. Mm-hmm. I'm like getting big nods from the actual expert. I like a nervous system trauma, like somatic. I feel like I can understand it, use it cognitively, but I'm not like a practitioner, to be clear here.
Aren't you though?
I am a little bit. I am
I
a little bit.
First. Come on.
Like, I am a little bit, but that's not my like main entrance point.
No, that's true. It's not you. Yep. But you are. You so are.
I use it in that I see it all the time.
Yeah.
And like, I'll bring it in. So it's not like not on my radar. It's definitely on my radar. Like, mm-hmm. that is the thing that I'm seeing really initially. Like, oh, and this is why I am so don't know, that sounds overused, but like really passionate about the portal because it's both things. Like you can't actually translate your message, send it out in a way that's resonant without the structure to be able to hold it, which comes back around when you have all of this multidimensionality, when you're in this category of one. It is so tempting for so long to look around and try to find a template.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it's like this person's Instagram bio. Or like,
yeah,
I can adopt how this person messages, like, this is close. And and for my people, the lack of alignment, intentionally using a buzzword, is in categorizing them, considering themselves smaller than what is true.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also winking at you directly.
Oh, I know there are reasons I know this. Okay.
Like, ask you how I know.
I will
ask you how I know.
Yes, there was times that people really wanted a website designer. And there was such a lack of fit because, like, I couldn't even convince them that that was the thing, you know, that I was just, like, delegated to carry out this thing that's just never been what I do. Anyway, so there's the structural piece, that there's the messaging work and the translation and how do we give language to what's true. But then there's the piece underneath, which is, can you hold, like, your own template? Can you be your own map and let all of it be true at once? And that actually really takes some structural rearranging. Because often, even if we're looking at something as mundane sounding as a job, you are in a category of creating your own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is my specific slice of genius, and it doesn't matter if that's a proven concept because it's true. And that's
it.
Yeah, that's the first part of messaging, that congruence that is most ignored. And so I really find in a lot of strategic containers, it skipped right over to, like, what you say and what would be more convincing.
Yeah.
And none of that matters without
exactly
the little iceberg underneath. Like, that's just what's sticking out of the water.
Exactly. And this is, like, also to translate it back into my language. And it's like my students are listening, they will recognize the therapeutic order of things, the biodynamic, natural order of things, when everything is rooted in the foundation of being.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are steps that lead up into the specificity of things.
Yeah.
And so on the bottom of this whole map is your being, your foundation, your cosmic vastness, right? This, the origins, the whole of the being rooted so deeply. And copywriting and design are super important, but they live on the top of the pyramid. Mm-hmm. And when we skip exactly what Gisele, when we skip the foundation, it doesn't matter how much tinkering you're going to do with a copy. It doesn't matter at all.
No.
It just feels exhausting. Ask me how I know.
We went to all of our Portal Mastermind participants. We promise this level of honesty will be true throughout. Exactly. And so often when I'm working with someone on their brand, it's like, oh, it's not working because just the container, the architecture can't support it. It's like two walls are crumbling and you're trying to decorate the house.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then people come and ask, like, what else can I do? Like, what else? How else can I adjust the copy? And I've been a part of the masterminds where this is exactly what is happening. And there's like literally hundreds of messages every day to the facilitator with an ask to check the copy. And like nobody's posting anything without the approval. super hyper vigilant energy around, like, oh my, I wrote something, I don't know, can you check and approve and tell me what to do? And then I sit there like watching, like, no, 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 no.
And the last time we recorded, I talked to two about how copywriting and messaging is so much translation of what's true, what you can see.
Yeah.
And if you change locations, what you see is different. So you're describing a different thing.
Yeah.
And I think for so many people here that are just, no offense, my dear, dear, similar, but weirdos, just people that came into this world thinking, I am having a different experience than everybody else around. And a lot of us learned how, like, put a lot of effort to learn how to fit in, to look normal. And so the process of shedding that, of coming back to what's true, of really claiming, owning what makes you stand out, is somatically uncomfortable.
Very. Yeah, I would say, like, I know my people, I know myself, and I know you, and I would say your people are kind of same. We are the type of people, like, we are weird and different and neurocomplex and divergent and gifted in so many ways. And very often I see my I always see my people in their potential, like in their blueprint. I see the bottom of the pyramid, right? The foundations, the vastness, the rooting, the being. I see that. What they often see is the specific patterning and looping and what's not okay and what's wrong and what needs to be fixed around their whole person, but also specifically around business, right? And then I realized also recently, like, actually all of my people are like freaking certified geniuses. And I treat them as such.
Yeah.
And it's a peer-to-peer relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody, like, no, 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 it's not me. Everybody else, yes, but not me. I'm like, yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also because we perceive life, and tell me, like, your perception of this and your experience of this. We perceive life in a way that's much more intense, faster, deeper. It goes, like, through many dimensions at the same time. It's never one simple thing, the physical world, reality, simple. This is the thing that I enjoy. I'm a normal person, you know? It's many, many things all at the same time, at the speed of light.
Yeah.
And when we speak about, it's about shedding all the masks and da-da-da, this, like, coming out as yourself, as your speedy, intense, diverse, complex, like, are you even human? I don't think so. Like, coming out as this is the most scary thing you can do, but also it is, like, you cannot not do this at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And many people, many of my people say, like, I actually, as with the business as well, as I begin to step into my business from this perspective of me being this much, it feels like I'm the most naked I've ever been. Like, how uncomfortable this will feel. Very. Can you do this alone? I don't think so.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I really don't. And I think that there's even beyond, like, stepping out as yourself, and there seems to be this pattern that I've noticed also in myself of feeling behind for a really long time, fully latching on to one metric that shows that you are behind all the normal adult humans doing normal adult things. And there's been this apprenticeship into, like, different arts during all of that time. And it feels particularly right now, where there's this narrowing, like this tipping point where that's who needs to be able to find their feet under them to step into not just coming out as themselves, but also like leadership. Like all of the things that made you so weird and felt like you were lagging is what is prepared you particularly to not just catch up, but like step into where you, like the location that's true to you.
And it's not about catching up at all. There is no behind. There is no catching up. There's just the point, the coordinates that are here now. And the here now can be also away in a different galaxy and at the same time, this physical space and the physical body. And the physical body can be home and away at the same time. And this is the lived... Yes, tell me.
Oh, this is the lived... Finish that first.
Yeah, this is the lived experience of... I know my people, my students and clients and myself, the complexity of this. The here and away, the body and no body at the same time, all of the time at the same time. It is intense. Like, how do you package it into a very marketable, Instagrammable thing?
Yes. And I want to loop back from there.
Yes.
To the, of leadership too, which has like this quality generally of directionality and striving. I like how you're talking about it and what feels true is when you step in to fully occupying, fully landing on the location that's actually true, the striving also disappears.
Exactly.
It's letting life like right-size itself, where you have just the architecture to support and more people paying attention, learning, like grow in whatever way is true to you and your blueprint and your genius. But that you can also, just hold that level of leadership that isn't trying to be out in front, that doesn't have any thing. It's just more of like a beacon and a lighthouse that's really solid.
Yeah, it's a kind of the, I think they call it like a new leadership something. I don't even know. I usually do not participate in any movement.
Sounds shocking.
And I usually also disagree with a lot of things. But I think it's called like new leadership. Exactly the difference between this striving and direction and goal-oriented. Like, I know the way. I am the one, blah, 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 this hierarchical relationship. Pivoting to what I also mentioned before, like there's a peer-to-peer relationship. And this animate, in the animacy of the whole world, is a very horizontal growth.
Yeah.
And so the old leadership paradigm is kind of the up, 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 and more, and this capitalistic colonial way of like, oh, let's exploit everything and squeeze everything out to the last drop. And like, I must use the time and the resources till the last drop until everybody drops dead. This is kind of the energy. And the new leadership, to me, at least, like how I see and how I hold all of my spaces, it's very horizontal. Everyone is a peer in this space. And the growth happens through connections, like through roots and mycelium and also cosmic mycelium. And it feels also very horizontal and very stable in this way. Because we only grow, when you only grow up, and more, there's no stability because it's a very fragile structure. When we grow horizontally and diagonally and in spiralic ways, there's like depths of the experience that have become available. It's just unimaginable. That's the leadership.
Yes. And if you're translating that in terms of metrics, community, clients, whatever it is that you're desiring, it's also becoming a really solid piece of the web that's also flexible. but can really hold a lot of, a lot of like gossamer threads at once that isn't going to crumble with with attention or service or whatever. Which when you talked about new leadership, I was writing about something yesterday that the one of the most damaging things, I didn't even read the book, but years ago, years ago, I started this tech company. I think I talked about it on here. And I didn't even read the book, but the title of the book, it's by Robert Sharma, I'm pretty sure, and it's called like Leaders Eat Last. And I think it just ruined my whole life. I don't think it was just that. It was like the architecture already was in oriented toward oversensitivity and overserving without being resourced and having my needs met. And that's a pattern that I see in a lot of my clients is like orientation to service.
Yeah.
And there's like this restructuring, rebuilding, rewiring to hold both at the same time. You are not holding the web at a cost to yourself, which like our sensitive weirdo selves usually come in as.
You are not holding the web, but the web is holding you. That's the whole point.
That's true. That's true.
But like, you don't have to hold anything. When the web is strong enough, when the web is resonant enough and connected wildly and wildly, the web is holding you.
That's true. But Kate, I'm going to ask you about that because you're ruining my metaphor.
I'm sorry. Couldn't see you.
So
let's cut this out.
We're leaving it. So the web that we're creating in the portal is holding you.
Yeah.
So what's happening, if you're using wizardry language, what's happening when you have an over-orientation to service at like to a self-extractive level?
I call this, are you ready for the but
I'm making you fix the metaphor.
So the wizardry language that I use for this specific energetic dynamic, I call this the bent over, how can I serve made energy. It's like there is no, for example, I personally, it's very hard for me to find spaces where I can feel held because I am super attuned and I can feel when the facilitator, when they don't care for themselves and they don't, like they are unrooted, unstable and all the things. And like how it's not okay. Like, how can I trust you? How can I trust the field to be held if you cannot, like, you cannot even hold yourself? If you are in the suffering or pain, like, I totally understand it from the human perspective, but from the practitioner-client relationship, from the space-holding relationship and things we do, I kind of don't. And again, it's not a judgment because this is superhuman. Superhuman, very human. But when we are in this bent over, how can I serve you and forget all about myself, made energy, we can actually, we cannot serve. Because there are no resources, there is no stability, there's nothing. And you just keep depleting yourself and this constant loop of exploitation and extraction that is again rooted in the white colonial capitalistic structures. And I've seen practitioners do this over and over and over again, and I get obsessed and mad about this because I understand where it's rooted. I understand that it comes exactly from the same systems that like systems of oppression that now are masquerading as systems of health and support and healing, but actually they are still same systems of oppression. I'm like, how is this still happening?
It's not, that doesn't happen on a horizontal plane. Like, you are bending yourself underneath. So when you are addressing that, repatterning that at a body level, what does that look like? How are you working with that?
And you reframe the question.
So what happens, like, somatically, start to shift from bent over mane energy to, like, standing straight up, not depleted, being able to hold your actual architecture?
That, I would say, also reorientation. It is an eternal process of reorienting. It's not just like we've done a couple of practices and now you're good to go. Do this exercise to repattern your nervous system from this to this. It's not how it works, but it's an eternal process of reorienting that sometimes also takes several lifetimes.
Yes, can I insert?
Yes.
Can you finish? Several lifetimes from what?
From several lifetimes of reorienting from what's familiar. Yeah, from this depletion, exhaustion cycles, sneaky martyrdom, looping, sneaky, I secretly enjoy my pain here. Like, is everybody seeing how much I suffer for this cause? And so, like, it feels actually so good. But very secretly from everybody and myself, yeah, there's some existential kink flavor. And the process of reorienting from this to what is actually optimal. So effortless, effective, efficient life. And this is like a long, 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 long process, because the human body wants to, like, it's almost, it wants to suffer, because human body is wired for survival. Like, the physiology wants to hide. And this is also what I find for people like us, when there's so much, like, the muchness of the whole existence just, like, fountaining from all of your being. Yeah, this is like a big, big, expansive movement that wants to happen, that must happen. Almost you cannot not allow for it to happen. And at the same time, the physiology goes like, squeeze and hold. Like, I cannot do this. Can we not? And then you find yourself in this big existential double bind.
Yeah.
I cannot. I must.
Yeah.
And this process of reorienting from this double bind again can take lifetimes. And that's okay. Because it's not about the goal of getting there. It is about the process of reorienting. Every day, every day, every moment, reorienting. Does this even answer your question?
Absolutely. And I think that that happens easier, more easily with support.
Oh, yeah.
With practiced attention, with mirrors. But I know for myself, that used to happen always. Like, I started, it happened to the extreme where if one person on my team was working, and I also had an overseas team too, so that meant that there was about 2 hours a day that nobody was working. Like, I would sleep for like 4 hours, like, just really because I was like, what's working? I should be working. That's a good leader. Like, I'm just murdering myself fully.
Yeah.
Two, like, being able to shift there, being able to shift at other levels, other just formation of my business. And something that I've noticed lately is that I've been working with people who are doing really well. Like, in our weird internet world, they're like a little bit niche famous. Noticed that pattern coming back that I thought that I fixed, you know, that was like high school Christy, like, let me be the sidekick, whatever, however I can be most useful, you know, we'll like here. And it that was actually really relaxing to listen to you talk about that being a whole like lifetime's worth of reorienting, because mm-hmm. feel really frustrating to think, I thought I fixed this already. And it can just like loop back in new ways that we just get to yep. reorient from again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And this is what's usually also like all the coaching, therapy, healing, masterminds, whatever, is very much goal oriented. Mm-hmm. Very goal oriented. Like, did you set your goals? Did you set your intentions? Did you get everything out of this experience? Did you? And it becomes so stressful. It's a continuous race. Mm-hmm. What are we racing for? What is happening? Why are we doing this?
Yeah. We're like mostly just playing anyway. Mostly at core working with that double bind of I can't do the scariest thing. I must.
Mm-hmm.
And then finding out what's beyond the must.
Yep.
Okay. I actually do want to loop this back around to messaging a little bit where we started. So
me too, because I'm waiting. Like, when is the good moment to ask you a question?
I'll ask myself a question. So that is to say, when I intentionally, something that I do in my containers is intentionally use really coachy buzzwords, because I feel like there are a lot of refugees that are like, don't say funnel, don't say funnel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like exposure therapying everyone on
yeah,
their
funnel.
Like, this can be whatever you want yeah. it to be. Like, you don't have to be afraid of it. So I use words like messaging and funnel. Just because.
Positioning.
For sure. I'll use all of them, even though I use them in a totally different way, just yeah. so people stop getting scared of them. Okay? So when we're talking about messaging and positioning, where we've just been is actually the core of it. And it reminds me of, so I used to teach high school English like a few lifetimes ago. And I'm going to go with, in one of my recent containers, there was a woman in there who said, this is the only place I haven't been afraid to, like, admit how brilliant I am. It's like, this is the only place that I felt like it was safe for me to be a genius.
Yes. Yes.
So this is the space we're creating. So I'm just going to call this one myself. I was, like, exceptional and excellent as an English teacher. Okay.
No, you're exceptional and excellent in every way.
Most things I'm...
Just a little side note from a fan.
If you feel like you're not going to be able to be allowed to come in here and brag and actually celebrate the wonderful things about yourself and your business, that is not true. I'm demoing it right now. So because of that, I used to have like crazy good test results. All the things. And so I would be in a position where a lot of times other teachers would come to me or other administrators and say, like, can you teach my teachers how to do this better? So I taught senior English, and in Alberta, we have like provincial wide exams. So my students were always like crushing it on these exams. Yeah. And so people would come to me and say, other teachers, like, can I have all your worksheets? And I would say, what worksheets? But like, can I have your PowerPoint stuff? And I'm like, I've made two of those ever. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And what I would try to explain was that I would spend 80 to 90% of our time together teaching all of my students to think more interestingly.
Mm-hmm.
So on the test itself, that's the bulk of the marks, is your depth of thought and analysis and how you're connecting things and putting things together. And there's kind of a grammar and voice and diction component, but it's not as important. And that is actually easier to teach. And most teachers, people would spend all of their time there. Like, I'll teach you how to write a correct sentence. And my whole frame was, we'll worry about that at some point, but 80 to 90% of the year, we are reading stuff talking about stuff, writing about stuff, that I'm only trying to get you to look deeper, think differently, which can be hard with 16, 17 year olds. And has to be
good. I don't imagine.
And engaging. And I don't know. I'm like going to really go off on my bragging. But there was this sense of other kids that weren't in my class would be like, it's like you guys have a cult in there. It's the only place that everyone wants to go. Like, what happens in there? And I was like, we read stuff. We talk about it. We talk about life. And then close to the end of the year, mostly a little bit of points along the way, I'd be like, okay, this is how you put this all into an essay. And this is exactly how I think about copywriting and messaging. It's like the bulk of everything is underneath. It's the somatic structure that we talked about. It's you being able to actually see yourself and to see how your clients see you, your potential clients see you, where that fits, how you can translate it. And then we talk about like a few little things that you can do to make it more compelling or magnetic. But the bulk of it is where we've already gone so far. That's the stuff that actually matters and makes a difference. And I see so much in the messaging copywriting world, you're just doing grammar worksheets and who cares? That's not the thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm fanning out so hard right now because this is exactly like, again, the therapeutic order of things, because you've been doing this without knowing the framework, quote unquote, right? This, the building the foundation. And then exactly what you said, I find it's so applicable, like to be able to think more interestingly. This is what I hear so very often from my people. Like I have this whole vast experience. I speak to spirits and I feel all these energies and da da da. And then when it comes to speaking about this on social media or putting it into an email podcast post, I have nothing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's like whole gap between the experience and then how do I talk about this? And this is exactly what you like explained just now with the students.
Uh-huh. And on that note, too, I work with people who have, they would explain their experiences like a lack of clarity, confusion, and what I can see and notice, and again, this isn't ask me how I know, is that is often like a somatic response. That's not a mental thing that's happening. It's that part of you that's saying, no, you can't actually come out as who you are.
Yeah.
And the most, like the easiest way for your physiology to keep you there is by throwing out the, not sure, I don't know what to post about. I don't know what to say. I don't know what my thing is.
Yeah.
And then you just get to stay in, I'm stealing this from you probably incorrectly, like never forever land. You just get to stay there.
Yeah.
Did I do it?
Yeah.
Did they
yes,
do it
you
right?
Did. Yes, you
Thank
did.
You. Did no, I somehow
that would be
correct?
Yeah. I can never be able, I forever will stay here like this. And what really like angers me somewhat is most of the coaches or most of the masterminds, they will tell you, like I've heard this and I've witnessed it and I've experienced it also so very often. Like when you say something like this, like I feel frozen. I don't know what the thing is. Like I have no access to it at all. And they would say something like, yes, you do. Just listen more deeply. Just sit in meditation or whatever. Like, yes, you do. But actually, when it's that deep, when it's an existential pattern, you cannot access it alone very often because it's so important, because it's so very well hidden, because it's in the never for level forever land.
Yeah.
You can never, ever go to the never for forever land alone. You will just see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There will be nothing. Like, there's a veil, and sometimes I call it either I haven't settled yet on the. Sometimes it's one, and sometimes the other. The veil of forgetting, or the river of oblivion. Right.
Both have a pretty strong ring.
Right, and so you step through it, and then you literally you forget. You don't know anymore.
Yeah.
And when you find yourself there, and then you come to your coach or whatever. Yes, you do. Like deep down, you do know. Yeah, deep down, you do know. And like, as, yeah, no. Like, what do we do then? But we are very well equipped to go there together.
Yes. And well, and I love that you said you can never go to the Never Forever Land alone. And that there, I think this is going to be a little depressing. I think there are endless Never Forever Lands.
Yeah.
Because lately I have been working with seven figure. You would think like you've done all the things. You've had all the eyes on you. And the next place that they want to go is beyond the River of Oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
And often you just need someone to get in the boat with you to get
yes.
there. That also that haze is really specific. Like someone else can see you. Someone else can get in the boat and navigate.
Yeah.
Pointing.
You need a guide. You need a guide. And Paulette, my mentor, she's sending me all those kinds of like random, quote unquote random, but they're not never random, but kind of random stuff. Screenshots and quotes. And I was like, sometimes like, what is this? And so one of those things, and I love them so much. One of those things was a screenshot with something like, don't fuck around in symbolic fields alone. You need a guide. Like, yes. And she's 73 years old. 73 years old. Who sends this screenshot? I'm like, yeah.
Not specific to you at all.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. There's many, many places in our soma and psyche and this cosmic self mm-hmm. where we never, ever can go alone. Mm-hmm. That's just how things are.
And switching metaphors one more time, I think when we're looking at that really existential questioning level, the boat, the navigator, all hold. And then there's also this element that can be used a lot inside coaching world, but I think it's accurate, this one, is mm-hmm. that it's really hard to read the label. You can't read the label from inside the jar.
So
there's so much of copywriting messaging that is translation work
mm-hmm.
that it's not a matter of dumbing it down or simplifying or following a framework. It's that you are floating around in this amber honey cosmic soup attic
mm-hmm.
world that's so multidimensional that isn't 2D at all, that can't be reduced to words at all. And yet mm-hmm. that's the bridge that other people are coming to you through.
Yeah.
And so, like for you, you talked about the geniuses that you work with. It would make zero sense to remove the poetry, the wizardry, to just follow like Alex Horvath's mm-hmm. rule of taking it down to like a fourth to ninth grade reading level.
Oh.
Like that wouldn't relate to your people at all. That's not who they are.
No.
And for mine, in my own business, I am a wordy copywriter because I am a writer and also, but also mm-hmm. my people are readers.
Yeah.
Right? So that translation and knowing who you are and knowing who your people are and how do you build a bridge between them. And it's not a matter of reducing yourself to a form or a reading level. But there is a skill and an art to how do I describe my experience, describe where I am so that people can create a map to get to me.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, for me, it's like, again, another metaphor is like a thread of resonance. You kind of bend it out and mm-hmm. some people will find the way. And others won't. Mm-hmm. And also feels important to name that when we say messaging and positioning and copywriting and this kind of things, it's never limited to Instagram or social media or email. It can be any kind of thread throwing. It could be podcasts. It could be in the physical world. It could be like just speaking about your work with other people. It's mm-hmm. never limited to the specific, this is a social media, build your online business to 100K month type situation.
Because also, both of us have businesses where those metrics, like, don't really matter.
No, they don't apply. No.
In a way, I was an affiliate for a program a few years ago, and I really believe it had really helped me. Anyway, I won a spot to this private mastermind day, and they told me that I was, like, in the top, and I was like, did you make a mistake? Because other people on the list had, like, 100,000 followers.
Mm.
And that was, like, one of the first times I noticed, oh, something else is happening here.
Yeah.
And it's not about, like, virality, what we're talking about, messaging. It's all of it. And it's also the ability to be who you actually are out loud.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, this is really well said. Yeah. The ability to be who you are out loud. Yeah.
With the phrase that I use, which is obviously not trademarked, it's really simple, but I use it a lot. It's like, we're doing all this foundational work first. Like, you were developing the supported structure to be who you actually are, to know what that looks like from the outside and what people are looking for. Because as the practitioner, it's also your job to build bridges out from where you are for people to come in.
Yep. Yep.
It's actually not their job. Like, that's part of your job. And it can be poetic or musical or simple, whatever's true. But if we're building this castle really strong, we're building the bridges outward, then I say, then your job, when all of that is done, this is the signs that the people are looking for. This is what they're struggling with. So they know that this is the entrance point that makes sense, the trailhead they're looking for. Then your only job is to tell the truth.
Exactly.
And for most of them, the way that they haven't been telling the truth is by describing where and who they are as much smaller than is true.
Exactly.
The part that they haven't been truthful about actually is how big and powerful and multidimensional they are.
Mm-hmm. Mic drop. The end.
I feel like this is like, boom. This is exactly like every other messaging podcast that you've listened to, right?
So here are three tips on how to improve your messaging today. Go apply now.
Doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. And I mean,
in a different way. In a different way how you would think. Yeah.
Yes. It matters in a different way. And to clarify, while we're on this episode, especially to people in the school of imaginal body mystic wizardry
stuff. Yeah. Mystic stuff.
I am absolutely here and available through the portal to check your copy. You know, that is not what we're doing. Because there are sometimes blind spots where, like, oh, we just didn't build this bridge out far enough. Mm-hmm. Oh, these signposts aren't really clear. And of course, it's so helpful to have a partner, a co-creator who's outside of the jar and can help. And that's why we recently decided I am going to do intake calls with everyone in the portal, because I want to know your business and your structure and you from the inside out, so that through these 6 months together that I can be the most helpful. That if you have a question on a sales page or a branding stuff or offer, like, a lot of that will be me helping, supporting. And I just really want to know that on an intimate level. So you and I will have a call together, so we have a really solid foundation, you listener, before we even begin. Because those things do matter. And what we're doing together within a lot of our group time in the portal is the part that's often skipped. It's the part of, we spend 80 to 90% of the semester thinking differently, deeper. We spend 80 to 90% helping the soma to claim your location, to be really solid there, to be able to describe where you are and stop hiding from yourself.
Yeah. And also just like a little side note as well, when you said to me, I actually have this idea to do really like intimate intakes. I was like, yes, can I have one too?
Yes. Absolutely.
pick me.
So, yes. Oh,
on the business note.
Yes. On the business side of things, you will be supremely supported in the structure, in the like, I have a tech hiccup. I don't know if my tech stack makes sense. That doesn't sound very wizardry to most people, but it is to me these little inroads where we can be even more effortless, effective, efficient. That we can, yeah, play on all of those levels through the whole strata of what's happening in the cosmic body, and also these little channels that clients come in and work with us and interact in the actual. The internet is also like a little bit magical.
Very.
Yeah. So that all counts. And we're doing it all.
Yep. The whole range of wizardry. Yeah. And on that note, to the end. Thank you for listening.
See you next time.